First case for argument, Mays versus Principi, Mr. Sapolsky.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Jamie Sapolsky, and I represent Maxine Mays and her claim that the Veterans Administration violated the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 by failing to reassign her to a vacant nursing position at the same grade or level as the staff nurse position she previously held. In February of last year, Ms. Mays filed a five-count complaint of employment discrimination under Title VII and the Rehabilitation Act. The district court granted the VA's motion for summary judgment on all counts. This appeal challenges that decision with respect to the failure to accommodate claim because the VA failed to provide discovery on vacant nursing positions within the VA Chicago system. Discovery that goes to the core of the reassignment claim, and because despite that non-production, Ms. Mays produced evidence of four vacant nursing positions that she was qualified to hold, qualified in terms of being able to meet the legitimate prerequisites and as well being able to perform the essential functions of those jobs. Because she did make that showing, and because the VA claims that it cannot produce any information on the essential functions of those vacant positions or any vacant positions, Ms. Mays is entitled to summary judgment on the failure to accommodate claim. Maxine Mays is a registered nurse, and she worked in that capacity for the VA's Westside Hospital here in Chicago from 1992 until December of 1997. In that month, she was injured while assisting some other nurses in lifting an obese patient, and that injury resulted in a cervical sprain, a bulging C5, C6 disc, and a rotator cuff tendonitis. Ms. Mays returned to work in a temporary light duty position as a triage nurse, and in that capacity, she had direct patient contact. During this time, she continued the course of treatment with her injury, which included physical therapy and pain medication management. About 14 months later, on March 26th of 1999, the VA received a report from a Dr. Werner, who the government had requested to examine Ms. Mays and review her medical records. Dr. Werner indicated that in March of 1999 that Ms. Mays had reached maximum medical improvement and that the injuries she sustained in December of 1997 were permanent. Dr. Werner identified the physical restrictions that Ms. Mays had as a result, including sedentary work, a maximum lifting of no more than 10 pounds, no work at or above shoulder level, and no patient lifting. Dr. Werner went on to state that Ms. Mays could continue in her triage position, but that she could not return to work as a registered nurse doing floor nurse duties. The VA did not inform Ms. Mays that it considered her permanently disabled in March of 99. Instead, it passed her case on to its workers' compensation unit, and her case was processed under the workers' compensation regulations. Approximately 6 months after the VA had deemed Ms. Mays permanently disabled, she received a letter from the VA stating that it indeed did consider her permanently disabled, that as a result of the disability, she was unable to perform the essential functions of her nurse duty position, and it offered her a reassignment to a position as program support clerk, a clerical position, a non-nursing, non-professional position, paying approximately half of what Ms. Mays made as a registered nurse. The letter, in addition, advised her that she could claim lost wages as a result of this reassignment, and it further noted that should she reject the offer of reassignment, which the VA had deemed suitable work, she would forfeit her right to the workers' compensation award. Nonetheless, Ms. Mays did reject that offer, and she, for the next 2 months, personally and through her counsel, attempted to engage the VA in an effort to find a reasonable accommodation to her disability. Ms. Mays spoke to the Associate Chief of Nursing, Darlene Modelsky. She spoke to Joanne Wentzbauer, who was the Workers' Compensation Specialist. Correspondence was sent to Ms. Modelsky, to the VA's Human Resources Department, to the Director of Acting Director, Dr. Chester Zeiss, who was Acting Director of VA Chicago. And the focus of this correspondence was to, again, get the VA to enter a dialogue to find a reasonable accommodation. First, to allow Ms. Mays to perform the essential functions of her staff nurse position, but if that could not be done, then to provide her with a reassignment that was equivalent to the staff nurse position. Finally, the letter's correspondence indicated that there were such positions in the VA Chicago system that were open and available. In fact, during that period between June of 1999 and January of 2000, at least four vacant positions were available, two as performance improvement nurse and two as utilization review nurse.
And in your discovery request, it was pretty broad. Did you specifically ask for discovery regarding those four positions?
No, Judge.
In terms of what the qualifications might be? Or?
Specifically to those positions, no, Your Honor.
And then did you ask for any discovery concerning people who had actually filled those positions?
Yes, Judge.
Specifically, and what their qualifications were?
Not specifically those positions, Judge. The discovery requested was for all vacant nursing positions from, I believe, 1998 forward that required nursing skill, education, experience. And in the VA Chicago system.
Right, and then the VA responded they didn't keep track of it in that way, and so did you make a further request concerning those four specific positions?
No, Your Honor, but I have to say that at that time the ability to do so, the cutoff date, I believe, for discovery was October 10th or 8th, actually it was 8th or 9th, so I did not follow up with that. But,
and the summary judgment motion had proceeded?
The summary judgment motion, the dates for closure of discovery and for filing dispositive motions were, the 8th of, it was the same date, it was the 8th of October. In November of 1999, it was clear to the plaintiff that the VA was not interested in addressing the accommodation question, and under further threat of losing the workers' compensation award, Ms. Mays accepted the clerical position. In the district court, as Your Honor indicated, we sought discovery on the vacant nursing positions in VA Chicago, including questions like job duties and essential functions of those positions, as well who filled those positions and the dates that they were filled. The VA did not produce a discovery responsive to that request and later claimed they could not. Shortly thereafter, the VA filed its motion for summary judgment, and the plaintiff responded with a Rule 56F motion to stay the briefing on the summary judgment until the motion to compel had been heard. The district court denied that motion and shortly thereafter granted the motion for summary judgment. Where reassignment is necessary as a reasonable accommodation under the Rehabilitation Act, the federal employer's obligation is to reassign the employee to a vacant position at the same grade or level as the position formerly held. This court has said that where reassignment is necessary, the first step is that the employer must identify the full range of alternative positions. The VA determined in March of 1999 that Ms. Mays was permanently disabled, and that determination should have prompted the VA to initiate the interactive process to find a reasonable accommodation. The fact that the VA did not do so is no surprise, however, because the VA does not have a policy to implement the requirements of the Rehabilitation Act. Not only did it not initiate this interactive process, but it did not inform Ms. Mays that it deemed her to be permanently disabled. Instead, as I mentioned, it sent her case to the Workers' Compensation Unit. There, the Workers' Compensation Specialist reviewed 21 possible reassignment positions. Two of those 21 were nursing positions, one of which was a chief nurse position, which admittedly Ms. Mays could not meet the prerequisites of. The other position, the nurse position, was one which the VA had already deemed it was the floor nurse position that they had deemed she was not capable of performing the essential functions of. The Workers' Compensation Unit did not review any administrative non-patient care nursing positions. It reviewed no other patient care nursing positions, such as a specialty clinic position. In short, the VA did not identify the full range of alternative positions. The result was that on September 15th, when it handed Ms. Mays the reassignment notice, that reassignment position was not at the same grade or level as the staff nurse position she had previously held, nor was the result of that process one which was interactive. In fact, it was wholly directive. Once Ms. Mays found out about what the VA had in store for her, she herself requested that the VA engage in the interactive process. Now, The VA did not have the institutional wherewithal in March of 99 to initiate the interactive process, but it still could have complied with the requirements of the Rehabilitation Act in October or in September or October if it had taken Ms. Mays up on her request to engage in the interactive process. That request was ignored. The VA has argued that it met its duty to engage in the interactive process because it sent one letter in October of 1999, which essentially reiterated its determination that the clerical position was suitable work. This court has stated that the interactive process requires a great deal of communication between the employer and the employees. The EEOC guidelines, the fairly specific four steps to engage in the interactive process, three of those steps require consultation with the individual with the disability. None of this happened, neither before September 15th or after that date. And it is hard to imagine that one letter sent after the employment decision has already been made could constitute engagement in the interactive process. Notwithstanding the VA's claim that it could produce no information on vacant nursing positions during the relevant period, Ms. Mays presented evidence of four vacant positions within 10 months of the determination that she had was permanently disabled. These positions were, as I stated, performance improvement and utilization review. They were sedentary desk jobs, essentially, that required that the incumbent to review records and so forth. I say I'm out of time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Paulson. And Mr. Walsh?
Please, court, counsel. I presume the court understands I'm standing in for an assistant U.S. attorney who is in the hospital today with a ruptured appendix, so hopefully I'll be able to answer all your questions. This case really comes down to whether the VA reasonably accommodated a disabled.
Are you conceding that she's disabled?
Judge, that wasn't raised below. I wouldn't if I were starting fresh. But,
thank God. I mean, she just can't lift things, right?
Right, but the agency did.
A lot of people can't lift things.
The agency, it appears, regarded her as disabled. And okay, we didn't argue below that she wasn't, so I'm reluctant to raise that here. She's dissatisfied with the accommodation that her employer found for her. She wants to pick the sedentary job that she prefers rather than the one that the agency prefers that she have, at least for the time being. The Rehab Act doesn't require that employees get their preferred or their requested job. It just requires that the employer provide some reasonable accommodation, and she has some reasonable accommodation. The VA hospitals exist to serve the patients, our fighting men and women. They don't exist as a make-work welfare position for their employees' benefit. The reason why Maxine Mays isn't a nurse is because if somebody had an emergency in her presence, she probably wouldn't be able to help them. That's what the associate chief nurse, Darlene Modelsky, testified to in the EEO process, and she wouldn't want her in the emergency room or on the floor in the event that somebody actually needed a nurse. They encouraged Ms. Mays to apply for positions as they came open that she might be able to do. There just weren't any nursing positions that she could do at the time that this process was underway.
Well, is it the VA's position that Mays was not qualified for the utilization review or the performance review position?
Judge, I'm not familiar enough with the record, to be honest, to tell you that. My understanding is that the positions that had become available up until the time that she was reassigned as a support position were not positions that she could do, but I can't speak to any particular.
Because when you look at the posted qualifications, mm-hmm. It looks like she could qualify for one of those positions or both of those positions.
Yeah, it may be, Judge, that the the accrediting organization for hospitals requires you to have a certain number of real nurses available, and they may count those nurses as nurses who could take care of patients in a pinch if there's a, you know, if you actually need real nurses. So that may be the answer to that.
But you're not sure
because
you're
sure.
Not that
Correct.
Familiar with the records.
Correct.
Can we, because I'm concerned about the discovery process, because I think it's difficult for us to assess the reasonableness of her reassignment when the VA failed to provide information about the available positions that Mays requested.
Yeah, Judge, I'm not, you know, I didn't read the depositions. My understanding is that when there was a dispute about whether the VA had turned over all the information it should have, whether it had answered the interrogatories fully, that the AUSA who was handling the case just tendered the witnesses and said, you know, if they're not telling the truth, that's fine, you have at them. Here are the three or four witnesses who answered the interrogatories, and as I understand it, their depositions were taken. There's no reason why at least the positions in question couldn't have been shown to either be or not to be appropriate accommodations or jobs that could have been done. I think the real dispute was over the VA's inability, apparently, to generate a list of every nursing position in the VA system that existed for a four-year period and all their job descriptions and that sort of thing. As to the interactive process, I've never seen a case yet where somebody said the interactive process was perfect. Maybe it is when people don't sue, but there's plenty of evidence in the record of an extensive interactive process. There are at least six or seven letters back and forth. There's the testimony of Darlene Modelski, the associate chief nurse at the VA, saying that she spoke to Ms. Mays several times about jobs that might be open and encouraged her to apply for positions and encouraged her to perhaps get some additional training so she could qualify for positions that she wasn't particularly qualified for at the time. Of course, the VA wasn't required to put her in a supervisory position to accommodate her alleged disability. And unless the court has any other questions, we'd rest on the brief.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace. Mr. Sapolsky, how much time does he have? 3 minutes?
Thank you, Judge.
I don't really understand how she can be regarded as disabled within the meaning of the ADA. She just can't lift things, heavy things.
Yes, that's correct, Judge.
Well, most people can, or many people can.
Well, most people can lift more than 10 pounds, Your Honor, and I think that's the rub. I mean, again, as Mr. Walsh indicated, that was not challenged below, and there's nothing in the district court's opinion that suggests that she was anything other than considered disabled, and is disabled. I mean, she can't lift patients, she can't lift more than 10 pounds.
No, but not being able to do a particular job is not disability within the meaning of the ADA.
That's correct. But there are, in Ms. May's affidavit, she indicated that she was not able to do many, not just the question of what she could or could not do at work. The disability affected her functions at home, lifting and grocery shopping, cleaning, a wide variety of things were covered in her affidavit that indicates that she's not able to do not only the essential functions of her job, but the average activities that everybody does. Most people do, most able-bodied people. Judge, I'd like to take one a point that Mr. Walsh raised, and that is what he called the extensive interactive process. First of all, there was nothing done prior to September 15th. The decision to transfer Ms. Mays to the clerical position was made prior to September 15th, and of course, she did not even know at that time that she was considered permanently disabled. There is no extensive.
What is the job you think they should have offered her?
Well, Judge, so far as we know, there are at least four positions that were comparable, equivalent nursing positions that did not require her to come into contact with, have direct patient care, which is what the.
What kind of nursing job doesn't require patient care?
The two that were mentioned, Your Honor, utilization review and performance improvement. These are positions that are, that the VA's...
Those are clerical jobs.
No, Your Honor.
Well, if you're not dealing with patients, you're...
They're considered administrative nursing positions, Your Honor. They require nursing experience and education. These two jobs require a Bachelor of Science degree in nursing, require 2 to 3 years of clinical experience.
Well, did they have those jobs, and were there vacancies?
Yes, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. From June of 99...
Well, the interactive process is irrelevant. You're saying there are jobs they could have given her, and they didn't.
It is irrelevant because there were jobs they could have given her and they didn't. It's relevant to the extent that when they made the determination that was not an equivalent position, she came back and asked them to engage in the interactive process so that they could thrash out what job they should give her. And they could have complied with the requirements of the Rehab Act if at that point, after September 15th, they had engaged in the interactive process, they had discussed the jobs that were available, and she would have been assigned to one of those jobs.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.